Hello there and welcome to The Spread, Nesson's Football Picks Podcast. I'm Nesson.com's Mike Cole, joined, as always, by Ricky Doyle. Ricky, how are you?
I'm doing well. You're doing this a little differently this week.
We literally were told 3 minutes ago not to interject, and I interjected. My apologies. Where are you?
I'm home. This is for all the buildup that we had last week about doing turkey trots and every other thing. It is a road game for this week. It kind of fell by the wayside. So now I'm just doing this from home. You're doing it from the office, and here we are.
Yeah, and I had alluded to maybe a special guest this week. I think I didn't do any legwork on that. That's on me. I think that might make more sense for a Christmas time rendezvous, if I'm not mistaken. I think we're on the same page. We haven't fully discussed that yet, but I think we're on the same page when it comes to that one. So we'll circle back. At some point this afternoon, we're going to get into our against the spread picks for week 12 in the NFL. We're going to do this a little differently than we typically do. We'll go through the three best games of the weekend, which there actually are a few really good games this weekend. Before we get to that, we'll run through the Thanksgiving Day slate really quick. You and I will give our picks there. But you know, by the time this gets out, that's going to be a little dated. So we're going to really heavily focus on the weekend games. But before we do all of that, we welcome in Nesson betting analyst, expert, whatever the hell he is, Sam Panayotovich. Sam, how are you?
I'm good. I love that you say we were going to have a special guest, but we're stuck with
Sam. I know.
Sam.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Yeah, it makes me feel all mushy on the inside.
Take it for granted that your availability is your best ability. So, Thanksgiving, I don't know. Let's dive in. Ricky, you and I haven't really talked about what we want to talk to Sam about, so we're off to a great start. But I think the conversation that we're going to have with Sam, I think, is going to really center around Thanksgiving, betting it, maybe bookmaking it, et cetera, et cetera. Sam, should I just bet the mortgage spread over three games, of course, responsible at the end of the day, just to avoid having to do anything else on Thanksgiving?
Well, yes, probably. Okay. No, I wouldn't bet the mortgage.
Well, I mean, it's better than, like, other Thanksgiving stuff is what I'm saying.
The worst part is being at Thanksgiving when you have skin in the game. Ricky, I don't know if you've been here like I've been here in years past. There's like 12 people in the living room. You got more money than you should have on the Lions game, and then it goes against you. Circa 2012, when I had the Lions on the money line, they're winning the entire game. They've got a 7-point lead with like 2 minutes to go. They blow it, they lose, and then everybody's like, so how's school going? And you just like, oh my God, it's the worst feeling in the world. The Lions have cost me so much pain on Thanksgiving, but that's just me. Maybe I'm just on my own island there.
No, there's a few trips that have to be made outside for a little bit. Maybe go for a walk. Just stay on an even keel, that's for sure.
Yeah, the walk, that is a Thanksgiving cliche. I feel like that probably changes a little bit as you get older. And then the walk at a certain point is like, I need to go think about the gambling losses that I've incurred already, and lunch or dinner isn't even on the table yet. Are the lines sharper on Thanksgiving?
They've actually covered last 11 years. They've covered the spread.
Oh, the lines.
The lines suck.
I know.
Well, Lions
so I was thinking about this, but with the context in which I was thinking about this is like the Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving, a very public team. Like, am I paying for part of that? Or even with the Lions, is that part of it too?
You pay a tax to bet against the Lions.
Right.
And you pay a tax to bet the Cowboys, because every year bookmakers tell me 80%, 83% of the bets are going to be on the Cowboys. I'm looking right now, multiple books reporting over 80% on the Dallas Cowboys, even though they may be without Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. You know, as we tape this on a Tuesday afternoon, Cooper still has to clear protocol. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. CeeDee Lamb has concussion protocol to clear. They're optimistic about that, but nobody knows yet. But that should answer your question. It's not stopping anybody from betting the Dallas Cowboys. They could be without their top two wide receivers, and this line opens 7. It's already at 8. One offshore shop has a 9. So if you wait this out on the Raiders, you know, I don't know how high it's going to get. I don't know what you're looking for, but if you're on the Cowboys, whew, you're with everybody on this Thanksgiving. That's for sure.
How much stock do you put into trends year over year on Thanksgiving? Like, I know that favorites have been, you know, just blindly betting chalk the last few years has been extremely profitable.
Yeah, it certainly has. I mean, I think we talk ourselves into, as bettors, we talk ourselves into the right number at times, and I've been guilty of this already. Mike and I make 5 picks a week, and I've already made, let's see, we're in week 12 now, so we've picked 55 games. I think alone I've picked 10 games because I got the right number, and I think I maybe won like 4 of those, maybe. So it's always a mental roller coaster. I'll tell you what, Ricky, I've learned my lesson. I'm not betting the Lions. That's not going to happen. But I want to be super pseudo sharp and take the 5.5 with the New Orleans Saints, even though Trevor Siemian is starting a quarterback and they might not have Alvin Kamara. Like, why am I magnetically pulled to that side? I have no idea. I mean, if I was going to lay one favorite, I'd probably lay the Cowboys. Which sort of counteracts everything I just said about being on an island. I mean, I'm not laying points with Buffalo, and there's no way I'm betting Andy Dalton on the road in the NFL. So I didn't answer your question, Ricky. It was a great one. But yeah, favorites have been hot. It just, these things don't usually, like, these trends are so small sample size that it's 3 games a year. It used to be 2 games a year. That's not really, you know, you go back 5 years, it's only 15 games. So it's not a large sample size.
If anything, I was looking. I think the Cowboys are 7-11 against the spread since 2003 on Thanksgiving,
which plays into the point that you're paying.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is that so? Like, I read in, that is a trend I look at and say, "Huh, maybe there's like some inflation here with the Cowboys." But other than that, I mean, this is. I mean, you could say this with any trend. I think. I guess my point is, like, I think the trends are more applicable on a Thanksgiving in this situation, maybe, than like. Because, like, who cares what happened in 2008? Like,
right.
That's, like, the delicate balance, I think.
Here's a trend I have for you, Ricky. I have been pissed off the last 12 Thanksgivings. There's a trend for you, and it's all because of something that happens on a football field.
Well, I would like to know what happened 13 years ago that, you know, that you were sitting in a good place back then. If it only dates back 12 years, something, I don't know what changed, but we should go back to that point.
It's a very good question. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That was just a random number to throw out. But here's something that I did bet. I'll give you this. I went under 21 in the first half with Chicago and Detroit. Both teams are 7-3 to the under all year. But as we know, on Thanksgiving, like, weird stuff happens. Second half, desperation kicks in, interceptions kick in, you know, fumble sixes kick in. So I took the second half out of the equation. The Bears are averaging 7.1 points per game in the first half this year. The Lions, 5.9 points per game in the first half. So together, the offenses are averaging less than 2 touchdowns. It's Andy Dalton and Tim Boyle. I had to laugh when I saw the Fox promo on TV. It's like, kick off Thanksgiving with Andy Dalton and Tim Boyle. I'm going under 21 in the first half. I don't care what anybody says.
Mike, you probably know a little bit more about Tim Boyle than I do.
I like Tim Boyle. Yeah, Tim Boyle looked good at certain points in preseason games, which is a very huge caveat. I was surprised that he looked as bad as he did last week, which was historically bad.
His numbers in college were atrocious.
What's going
on there? Like, what?
I think he throws a good ball. I think that's about it. But
Western,
like,
Michigan, is that where he went?
UConn and Eastern Kentucky.
Oh, that was
close enough.
I knew, because he's a local kid too. He's from around here. He's from New England at least. But yeah, I mean that's bad. I mean, that's why you have to bet. I mean, hold your nose and take unders, I guess, when Tim Boyle and Andy Dalton come around. So
I will not be playing the over in that one, even though here's another trend for you. Last 11 years, Lions 8-3 to the over on Thanksgiving. The problem is some of these totals have been, like, really low. 37.5 goes over, 24-20. Here's a total like 42 goes over barely. So again, we're going back to your point, Mike. You don't really want to compare two teams in 2021 to a trend that happened in 2014 when it was an entirely different team, a different quarterback, and a different coach.
But I guess we'll get you out of here on this. And this, it's kind of tied in. Anecdotally, do we think these games are played differently than other games on the schedule. What in terms of either A, teams are more geared up. Maybe the game plan changes a little bit, the new wrinkles. Maybe if you're ever going to do a trick play, maybe run on Thanksgiving for whatever reason. Or B, and the Bears are playing a Thursday afternoon game. That doesn't feel great in terms of prep. So, like, do we think that these games kind of maybe are more of an event in terms of how they're bet as well? That's a bad question way of asking it.
It's not. I'll tell you this. When I was living in Vegas,
like the Super Bowl, but it's kind of like the Super Bowl of Thanksgiving. I don't know.
2018, I was living in Las Vegas. So the day before the Super Bowl, the day before Thanksgiving Day, which kind of feels like the Super Bowl, I guess, I was working at a casino and I went in the back and I was like, you know, what's the deal? Like, what should I bet today? And this is a bookmaker who's not hyperbolic at all. He goes, honestly, just bet the over. He goes, because the refs throw more flags on Thanksgiving than they do in primetime. And I believe in 2018, all three of the football games went over that year.
But why?
More flags, more points.
But why are there more flags, you think? So, like, you just said 5 minutes ago, like, these are small sample size.
Yeah.
So isn't that?
That's just what he said. I didn't believe in what he said. Okay. So I don't think they're played differently.
Nobody knows anything, yeah. I guess.
That should be the title of the show. Yeah. Nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they're played differently. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's New Orleans going to do with Trevor Siemian and Mark Ingram? Maybe a little Taysom Hill? It sounds like what you're getting at is you want Taysom Hill anytime touchdown.
No, I want, like, Lions over 1.5 passers. Like,
okay.
Like, I think somebody throw like a reverse pass or something. Like, I want that's my point.
You want the kitchen sink.
I would be interested to know if the kitchen sink comes out a little bit more on Thanksgiving than it does on Sunday in week 13.
Thing is, Lions.
Yeah.
Lions are 0-9-1 this year.
Well, so maybe that's another thing is the Lions always suck. So it's like this is kind of a
and their sink may not drain. You know, that's the problem when you expect the Lions play like that. Like DeAndre Swift, like he may throw that pass, but then it's always interesting when the linebacker or the safety picks it off and runs it to the house. There's always something chaotic on Thanksgiving. I hope I win my bets. I hope you guys win your bets. And I hope that all your family members don't annoy the hell out of you.
2 out of 3 sounds good. So. All right, Sam. Thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving. Ricky, let's get into the Thursday actual football games. And spoiler alert, I think I'm on like the exact opposite side of everything Sam said. So that makes me feel good to really dive into these games. we need to get to it. Go ahead.
To your point a minute ago, though, about the it's playing on a Thursday afternoon at 12:30. It is kind of wild. Like, I don't think I think that flies under the radar a little bit. How quick of a turnaround.
We just accept it because it's like, this is the way we've always done it, but it doesn't, we spend all year talking about the craziness that is Thursday night. And now we're just like, yeah, let's play two games during the day on Thursday. This 12:30 kickoff in Detroit is nuts.
Yeah, and we do it every year without batting an eyelash.
It's better than, you know, I guess all in the name of entertainment. So we'll start there, obviously. Like I said, I think it's a 12:30 kickoff. Get the Bears heading to the Lions. We'll speed through these, Ricky, real quick. Bears, as it is right now, laying 3. It was 3.5 earlier today. Total's at 41.5, so it speaks to what Sam was saying. Where's your lean here with the Bears-Lions game?
So I'm leaning towards laying the points with Chicago. Detroit down, three offensive linemen, down their starting quarterback, obviously, which we talked about. They've never had any wide receivers. Like, that offense, I mean, he can just give it a DeAndre Swift about 40 times each week and hope for the best. But, you know, I just think the Bears at least can hang with subpar competition, of which the Lions obviously qualify. It was such a disaster from Tim Boyle in that debut that I just don't know if they're going to be able to do much offensively. You know, we talked a little bit about the trends. The Lions, 6-10 against the spread on Thanksgiving since 2005. Of the 12 games in which they've been underdogs, 2-10 against the spread, really have just gotten their doors blown off on several occasions. So I don't love laying points with the Bears, but against a team like the Lions that is as banged up and is just bereft of talent as they are, I think I'm all right in the spot laying the 3 or 3.5, whatever it ends up settling.
Yeah, if it's 3.5, I like it a lot more, but I'm going to take the Lions anyway. I'll grab the points. I think the Bears, this is completely almost 100% narrative based. But I think this is a game where a coach like Dan Campbell, isn't this why you hire him, is to get your team motivated? I know it's cliche, but like, this is the Lions Super Bowl for this year. This is probably Detroit's best chance to win a game this year. I think there are encouraging signs of what you've seen from Detroit recently. They've covered the last 2 weeks. They've been competitive, if not ugly. Whereas you look at what Chicago is doing, where Matt Nagy might be out of the job after Thursday, it sure doesn't feel like they're going to get a overly inspired effort to play for him. Again, you've got to go to Detroit and play the Lions at 12:30 on a Thursday instead of being with your family. All of those narratives and sort of intangible things, I think, point toward the Lions, and I'll take the Lions for that reason. Because there's nothing about the Bears that is talented enough and good enough to make me want to, just throw all that stuff out. So,
just looking real quick at the rest of the Lions schedule, like, trying to find out where that win's going to come from. You're right. I mean, this probably is their best shot for all the reasons that you mentioned. I mean, you get Chicago, Minnesota, Denver in Denver, Arizona in Atlanta, in Seattle against Green Bay. So maybe like one of those, that Atlanta game seems winnable. Maybe that's,
there are a few in there that are worthwhile. Yeah.
There's a few in there, but this certainly would qualify as the best opportunity for them to win.
Yeah. If this was 3.5, I'd feel a lot better about it, but I am going to take the Lions getting the 3 points. I think this is, again, it's going to sound cliche, I think this is their Super Bowl, and I think hiring a coach like Dan Campbell, who's like, if you were to do his like Madden attributes, like motivation probably is the number one thing that he's good for. If he can't have his team ready to go in like his first Thanksgiving game, then maybe he's worse at that kind of stuff than I realized. I just think all the narratives and all the intangibles point to Detroit here. And I don't think the Bears, especially without Justin Fields, are talented enough to kind of overcome that. I just feel like this is one where the Lions come out like they're shot out of a cannon, and they play their asses off and find a way to maybe scratch across that one win. Or the more likely thing, I guess, is probably that they lose like 22-20 or something, but they still cover the number.
Yeah, this has got to be the week that they get the win, right? Like, if they're going to get one, it's got to be their best shot at it. I'm just looking at the rest of the schedule here. Obviously, the Bears this week, at home against Minnesota, travel to Denver, at home against the Cardinals, travel to Atlanta, travel to Seattle, and then close up against Green Bay at home. So, there's a few winnable games on there. I mean, look at that Atlanta game, especially. I don't know, maybe even Seattle, but
Seattle, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but. To your point, I mean, this should be the week, right? We're looking at back-to-back weeks where they've played close games, obviously the tie against Pittsburgh. So I don't know, maybe this is the one, maybe they put it all together. I'm just having a hard time looking at that quarterback situation.
It's tough. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too. I think Tim Boyle maybe with an extra week looks a little better. I don't know. This game sucks. Let's go to the second one on Thursday afternoon. I think it's 4:34, right around there, 4 o'clock hour kick. Raiders at Cowboys. Cowboys, as Sam mentioned, they're just getting steamed up. It was 7 this morning when I wrote the betting preview at Nesson.com. It's now, as Sam mentioned, up to 8 in some places, 9 in one offshore book. We've got it at 7.5 at DraftKings, where we've been using lines from. So, Raiders at Cowboys with the Cowboys giving 7.5 at home, Ricky.
Yeah, this is tough because there's the part of you that wants to wait to see how the injury report's going to shake out with so many question marks for Dallas. But yep. At the same time, the longer you wait, the larger this number is going to get, and it's only going to grow even more if some of these guys are deemed capable of playing. So this one's tough. I guess I'm inclined to lay the points because I just think that Vegas is in such a bad spot right now. I mean, look at their offense since the bye, 16 points, 14 points, 13 points. I think if anything, I might might lean the under here, more so than the actual number. But yeah, I just, because, you know, it's for as many questions as Dallas has on top, you know, health wise, on top of the issues they've had offensively, would it shock me if all of a sudden we're sitting there at, you know, 5:30 on Thanksgiving and they're up by 21? Like, I could see that playing out. So I think I'm inclined to lean the points, but I don't really like this game either way.
It's a tough one too. I'll take the points. It sucks that I have to lock it in here on Tuesday afternoon when clearly the number is going to be better by Thursday. But I will take 7.5 points and go with the Raiders. I think the injury issues are a big thing for me with Dallas, where like Amari Cooper, that offense didn't look nearly the same without him. And then you lose CeeDee Lamb, and who knows whether he's going to play. There's still, you know, Tyron Smith on the offensive line. It sounds like there's optimism that he's going to play, but that's a massive human being with an ankle injury. I don't have a whole lot of confidence that he's going to be fully healthy. And if he can't go, or even if he's hobbled, trying to stop that, you know, Raiders pass rush, I think ranks like top 5 or 10 in quarterback knockdowns, maybe allows them to slow down that Dallas offense just a little bit. And then, yeah, you're right. I mean, the Raiders offense has not looked good in terms of, you know, points, which is, I guess, really all that matters. But they are one of the better teams in terms of yards per play the last 3 weeks. So I think they're moving the football. They're just not finding ways to cash it in, or, you know, create or turning it over at inopportune times. Can they get that right for one game? I think there's talent there that they can. Darren Waller, I think this could be a big game for him. Dallas is allowing more than 10 yards reception to tight ends. So it's a lot of points, in my opinion, that for against a team with the Raiders that hasn't looked right offensively, but has the potential to kind of keep this close, especially if Dallas is at all compromised with the injury situation. So.
Well, this is a novelty stat from the Action Network. Road Thursday underdogs coming off a multi-game homestand.
God, you already lost me.
15-30 against them. Well, that's the spot that the Raiders are facing.
Gotcha. Doesn't sound good.
15-30 against the spread. What is that? I mean, I don't know.
I wonder how many of those
weird trends, but it's just, there's a lot of variables in play right there.
I wonder how many of those are Thanksgiving too. Maybe that doesn't even change it. I don't know. All right. Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. Buffalo, they can't get out of their own way right now. They're in a world of hurt now. Second place in the AFC East, technically. They have to go to New Orleans to take on the Saints in the Big Easy. I guess the Saints are kind of locked into this Thursday night game. I don't know how I feel about that, but that's not up for discussion here. The Bills come in. The Bills opened as, what was it, 4.5 point favorites. It's already up to 5.5. So apparently the public isn't completely swayed by what they've seen from the Bills lately, or they're completely swayed by what they've seen from the Saints lately. You know, two teams that are struggling right now. Are you going to lay the 5.5 with Buffalo on the road in primetime at New Orleans?
See, I with Sam in that, like, I, at first glance, that number, I just, it looked a little off, and right off the bat, I'm thinking I'm going to take the points. But I mean, New Orleans, it's that offense, you know, not knowing the status of Alvin Kamara, that offensive line, I think they're down about two or three offensive linemen right now. Again, much like Detroit, they didn't really have any wide receivers to begin with. So I just don't know if they're going to be able to get out of their own way. Whereas Buffalo, there's like, they'll lay that egg, but at the same time, that their variance is just, it's insane. Like when they're firing on all cylinders, which I think they could be, I think they're going to be able to move the ball through the air in this game. So I lean towards laying the points and taking Buffalo in this game and just relying on a bounce back performance from them, because I just think that their ceiling is way too high. Whereas the Saints offensively, I don't know if I'm going to get much from them at all.
Yeah. I'm going to lay the points too, in large part because I've got to play the odds at some point. I at this juncture, when it comes to like the Saints in the Superdome, I have turned into Kevin McAllister in Home Alone when he looks at the furnace and says, "I'm not afraid anymore." I think that's how a lot of teams might feel, or should start feeling, about New Orleans, where I think I don't know if the inflation's still there, but I don't think teams are necessarily afraid to go in there and play in a game, especially in a game like this where you have to imagine you're going to be fired up, ready to go. Like, intimidation is not a factor. I like that, you know, I saw what Jalen Hurts did last week to the Saints defense. And I think we had a decent read saying, like, the Saints run defense is pretty good. What we didn't consider is maybe they would struggle containing the quarterback. And Jalen Hurts ran for 69 yards and 3 touchdowns. Josh Allen, well, maybe not with the same capabilities to run the ball, certainly could break off a couple big runs, certainly could find the end zone with his legs. And he's a much better passer with better weapons and a better scheme than Jalen Hurts had. So I think this is a pretty nice matchup for Buffalo, and I like the Bills here.
I think that this might be your kitchen sink game. Like,
sure,
you're New Orleans, where you're at offensively. Like, this is where Sean Payton's going to have to really dig deep into the playbook and come up with something. So maybe I would look at some props there, like, you know, to the one you mentioned earlier, like over 1.5, you know, passers or something to that extent. Some sort of like novelty prop that incorporates what New Orleans might do offensively. I might take a look at that.
Another trend that doesn't mean a whole lot, but it's in my favor, so I'll point it out. This is also from Action Network. Thanksgiving night favorites, 10-4 against the spread. So I don't, not a whole lot to glean from that, but whatever. All right, let's get into Sunday. Before we do, quick check of the records. We probably should have done this earlier. I forgot. You won another week. You went 8-7 last week. I went 7-8. So, pedestrian week. The two of us combined to go completely 500. So, what else is new? Sunday afternoon. We'll start here in New England. You've got at Gillette Stadium, Tennessee Titans coming off of a loss that feels like it got kind of overlooked. They got dummied by the Texans at home. I think they turned the ball over 5 times. It was a very unimpressive showing for the Titans. Now they have to go to Foxborough to take on a Patriots team that everybody loves more than they've ever loved all of a sudden. And the Patriots are coming off of a Thursday night football beatdown of the Falcons, in which it looked like they barely broke a sweat. Now they have the extra rest. Add it all up, the Patriots laying 6 points at home. Who do you have here, Ricky?
It's kind of wild how predictable this Tennessee offensive downfall has been. Like, yeah, you just think you lose Derrick Henry, oh, their offense is going to go to crap. And like, it kind of has just coincided with that whole thing, because I mean, look at the last 3 weeks, only 3 teams averaging fewer yards per play than Tennessee. That's Detroit, Seattle, and Houston. Obviously not great company there. That same stretch, the Patriots are allowing the fewest yards per play. Obviously their defense is taking shape. So like, this is a game where this could very well turn into a blowout if they just beat the ever-living crap out of Ryan Tannehill for, you know, 60 minutes or whatever, especially given some of his numbers against pressure. But at the same time, it's a lot of points for a team that's, you know, a Tennessee team that, and I haven't been high on them really at all this season, but it's sitting there at 8-3. They found a way to beat the Rams 28-16 a couple of weeks ago. They found a way to beat the Saints by 2. Well coached. I mean, Mike Vrabel 2-0 against Belichick. So it's just a lot of points for me, and I just keep waiting for a little bit of a letdown spot for the Patriots. And I don't know if this is the week, but if this, you know, this line is up to what it is now, I believe it was at 3.5 before that, 3 before that Thursday night game. Just feel like the gap in terms of like from an optic standpoint is never going to be wider than it is right now. So I'm just going to kind of hold my nose and take the points and hope this turns into a little bit of a rock fight. Cause it's a wide margin to just all of a sudden with everybody so high on the Patriots lay 6 points.
It was 3 points a week ago. I looked that up because I was interested in, and that was after the Derrick Henry stuff, but that was before everything that happened in week 11.
I just think maybe Tennessee defensively is able to do a little something to keep this close.
Maybe Vrabel has owned the Patriots relatively speaking too. So I'm going to take the Patriots though. I'm sick and tired of they've beaten me into submission again. Here we are. Just whatever. Put me in for Patriots, and if I lose betting the Patriots, then at least I can feel justified in my thoughts that they're still not very good. The evidence is becoming hard to ignore. I will say that. But like, you watch these games and like, they're just better coached. They're more disciplined than everybody. So like, that goes a long way. The quarterback doesn't do stupid stuff, so that helps. But for this game specifically, a lot of it comes down to Tennessee and where they're at right now. This is the other thing, too. The Patriots feel like they get everybody in a perfect spot where, like, a couple weeks ago it was without, you know, Nick Chubb. And, you know, say we want, like, Chubb probably doesn't make a huge difference in that game with the way it turned out. But this one, without Derrick Henry, and then also the specter of A.J. Brown, who's got a rib injury, I think it is, and he's either not going to play or is going to play with a very painful injury. He missed week four. That was happened to be the week that they lost the Jets. So you're taking out, like, the two best playmakers and trying to make Ryan Tannehill beat you without, you know, his top weapons. That's basically with a decent, maybe good defense. Like, this might as well be a Patriots-Dolphins game from 2017 or whatever. And if that's the case, I'll just lay the points to the Patriots.
Yeah, this is probably on my part a little bit of an emotional hedge here too, where I just don't want to be. I want to be on the right side of things when the Patriots do have that letdown game.
That's fair. So
probably a bad way to approach things, but it's such is life.
No, I mean, we're both doing the same thing, right? Like, we're both hedging emotionally. This is a masterclass in how not to win more bets than you lose. Like, it's.
I'm also thinking, like, this could be a game where New England has it under control almost the entire time, and then maybe Tennessee sneaks in the back door late.
That's fair. Maybe. That would really upset me. And it's just, so the Patriots get another win over a supposedly good team, and I lose the bet. But that's life in the NFL.
It is pretty crazy, though, to think that the Patriots are laying what they're laying in this game, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after Tennessee looked like arguably the best team in the AFC, if not in the entire NFL, amid their winning streak.
I can't snap my finger now. It was like that. Like, it was like in the snap of a finger. It feels like it happened overnight. Yeah, I agree. All right, sneaky. Interesting matchup here all of a sudden, especially after what we saw last week. Tampa Bay, they're going to go to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Bucks coming off a very impressive, I don't want to give them too much credit, I guess. The Giants look terrible, but the Bucks, to their credit, Brady played well, rolled to a 30-10 Monday night win. They go to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. The Colts, we completely biffed on this one. I almost texted you on Sunday. We could not have. I'm like, in all the years that we've done this, for us to be in lockstep on a game and be so completely wrong about what we said for Colts Bills last week is almost impressive. We thought that the Colts would not be able to run the ball against Buffalo. Jonathan Taylor had like his MVP game. We thought that Colts defense wouldn't be able to slow down the Bills. They did. Like, we were just completely wrong about that. So now, the Colts go home to host the Bucks. All that being said, the Bucks laying 2.5 points on the road in Indy. Who do you like here?
So, am I crazy for going back to the well and sort of thinking that the same logic sort of applies to this game that applied to that Buffalo matchup? Because that's kind of where I'm at.
I'm gonna let you go, but I have it like written into my it was like I was reasoning with myself in my notes as to why I don't hate what I'm doing and how I don't hate what we did last week, but go ahead.
Well, I just think that there's a lot of parallels there. Like, I think that you look at the the Tampa Bay defense, stopping the run, first in rushing yards allowed per game, second in rushing yards allowed per attempt, fourth in rush DVOA. So there's that same, you know, it's sort of the same avenue to victory that I thought would be the case for Buffalo applies to Tampa Bay, which is you just take away the run, make Carson Wentz beat you. I mean, granted, maybe we undersold Indianapolis's ability to have that success on the ground. But I mean, look, Buffalo coughed the ball up, what, four times. 136 of Jonathan Taylor's yards came after contact. So just, they weren't tackling. Carson Wentz didn't really have to do much of anything. I think he threw for like 100 yards or like 105 yards or something. So I just think that if you clean it up a little bit, which I assume you're going to get a much cleaner game from a Tom Brady-led offense, you're only laying with the 2.5 here as opposed to what Buffalo was laying 7 last week. I'm just sort of trusting the formula, trusting the process here, and in thinking that this might be the week that Indianapolis crashes back down to earth a little bit. So I'm going to lay the points with Tampa. And this is acknowledging that even with, you know, even in beating the Giants on Monday night, like something still looked a little off. They had a lot of dumb penalties, especially on third down, like they had a lot of big plays wiped off the board. So there is an element of the dumb football team thing that Bruce Arians was talking about, but I don't know. I'm trusting what we said last week about Buffalo. I think Tampa Bay has a better chance of executing that this week.
Hand up, I didn't do enough research last week, and I just blindly followed the stats and said Buffalo, good EPA, good DVOA against the run. They must be a good run-stopping defense. You dig in a little bit deeper, they've been gashed going into last week. What's that? That is true, but they have been gashed twice by Tennessee and Kansas City on the ground prior to last week. The two best offenses that they had faced all year gave them problems. Other than that, I mean, they did a nice job against Pittsburgh in week one, but, like, you know, the Pittsburgh rushing attack now with Najee Harris and the evolution that he's made over the course of the season isn't what it was back then, so I'm going to devalue that. Basically, the schedule hadn't been very good. They played a good rushing team and got bullied. Tampa, fourth in DVOA against the rush. They've done it against pretty decent running attacks, et cetera, et cetera. I think this is a different story. For that reason, I think they are a better version of what Buffalo aspires to be. So I guess I'll take the Bucs.
That the issues stopping good running teams, like that's something that probably doesn't bode well for Buffalo over the long term in sharing a division with New England. Like those, we're going to learn a lot from those two games, obviously.
Yeah, like did the Patriots right under our nose just build a team to beat the Bills?
It certainly feels that way.
Yeah, it really does. Like they had built, you know, they spent the last few years of Brady's career, you know, building up to try to beat the Chiefs. You know, you go back, they spent years with the Manning bout, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder if, like, yeah, you know, the Bills' run defense hasn't been good the last couple of years, and now all of a sudden Ramondre Stevenson is, you know, the Patriots' best draft pick. It's like, oh, should have seen this one coming, I guess, in hindsight. So,
yeah, this just seems like a short number, though, this game, this matchup in particular. So,
yeah, it feels like a funky number, like trying to get me off of my thoughts here, but I just, you know. Tom Brady against Carson Wentz with a better team. I don't know. Doesn't seem that complicated.
It could be texting you come Sunday and say, here we are again.
Yep. I fully expect that. So, all right, let's do our final game of Sunday, our final game of our Sunday slate, or week 12, whatever the hell we want to call it. Got the Rams coming off of, I think they're coming off of bye week. Am I not mistaken on that?
Coming off of bye after back-to-back losses.
True. Yeah, they're reeling. You know, they last time we saw them was that Monday night game against San Francisco, in which they looked terrible. Now they go to Green Bay to take on the Packers. Packers coming off of a hard-fought loss in Minnesota. So I will say, though, Ricky, we just dumped on ourselves for what we said about that Colts-Bills game. We nailed the Packers-Vikings game out of the, like, to a T. So good for us in that regard. 500, as always.
We break ourselves down and build ourselves back up.
Very, very well said. So the Packers opened as 1.5-point favorites. At DraftKings, they are still 1-point favorites. I think literally everybody else, this game's a pick, but we'll go off of Packers laying a point here. The total is 47.5. This game is at Lambeau. Huge game for playoff seeding. But like I said, Packers laying a point. Who do you like here with the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw some of the Packers' flaws come through, and then obviously they almost get bailed out by an all-world quarterback. But I mean, you get another injury you're dealing with along the offensive line right now. Your secondary was exposed a little bit against Minnesota. I don't know what Aaron Rodgers' toe situation is like, but obviously something to monitor throughout
the
week.
Got the COVID toe.
Yeah, right. And so I'm looking at this, and look, the Rams got waxed back-to-back weeks before going into the bye, but I mean, I do look at that one game against the Titans where it was almost two plays really that swung that game in a complete opposite direction. He had the pick six and then a short field like 10 seconds later. He had a pick six on a dropped pass, I think, against San Fran. So I think there's a little bit of a bad luck thing involved there. They've sort of bottomed out a little bit. So I think this is a good opportunity for them coming out of the bye to get back on track. So I'm going to take the Rams. Again, this is, do I love taking Matthew Stafford in Lambeau Field and what figures to be mid-30s temperature? No, but I think that the Rams are much better than we saw going into the bye. So I'm going to take them in this game and just hope for the best, I guess.
This kind of just feels like the same situation as last week for the Packers. Like, and maybe
it's like almost like a scheduled loss.
Yeah, and maybe against a better version. I mean, granted, it is at home, so they've got that going for them. But I think the Rams can do a lot of the things that the Vikings did last week and maybe even do it better. And the Packers are in a worse spot. I think losing Elgton Jenkins is like one of the most under-the-radar injuries in the entire NFL this year, because this is a guy who has been an absolute gem they found in the draft, whose biggest asset, in addition to just being a hell of an offensive line, is his versatility. And they've needed that versatility more than ever this year without David Bakhtiari, who is out at least through the bye week. The Packers are going on to the bye next week after he had to have his knee scoped, is kind of like a residual effect from his ACL that he still hasn't returned from. So, long way of saying the Packers offensive line is not in a good spot right now. And when Aaron Donald's coming to town, that's a bit of an issue. Like, Jenkins did a nice job last year in that playoff game. This is also a revenge game for the Rams. The Packers beat the Rams in the playoffs last year, and Donald was a relative no factor. I don't think it's going to be the same this time around. And that, you know, to the point that you made, if Donald in that pass rush, is Von Miller playing this week, by the way? Probably should have looked that up. But they've got, you know, now that pass rush is coming to Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers very publicly, vocally admitting that he is hobbled. Does not sound like a great recipe for success for the Packers.
We'll say this about the Rams. They've only beaten one team with a winning record.
Sure.
The Bucs in week 3. Other wins, Chicago, Indianapolis, which now looks like it was a good win, but at the time it was kind of whatever. Seattle, the Giants, Detroit, Houston. So they've beat up on some bad teams. This is the type of game where you need to see it. You need to see it from them. And
yeah,
if they struggle offensively again this week without Robert Woods and, you know, Odell Beckham doesn't transition the way that they're sort of hoping, then I think you might have some long-term issues you got to look at. But I'm sort of just banking on a different version, the better version of them showing up this week. But yeah, I mean, big game for both teams, obviously.
That is that's the path to victory for the Packers, is to win this game 23-20. Like, it's, and that might be like the highest scoring outcome that for them to win this game, because I do think the defense is good. They had a bad game last week. In hindsight, a rookie cornerback against Justin Jefferson was a tough ask of Eric Stokes. Thielen did his Thielen thing, you know, from time to time. But I still think that Packers defense is pretty good. They were in the backfield all day long, so that's the path to victory here. I just, again, and you know, you took the words out of my mouth from last week. I think this is probably another scheduled loss, especially going into the bye, and then the Packers kind of say, we'll see you in December when we've got Bakhtiari back. We're feeling a little healthier. We've had time to rest. I mean, we're already, what, week 12? Like, this is a late bye for an older team, so... Yeah, I think this is just, it feels like a tough spot for Green Bay. So.
Feels like they're kind of limping into that.
Yep, definitely. Literally, in some regards.
But they built that cushion in the division a little bit. So it's, they have the runway to, I guess, pull something.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings are fine, but like the Packers probably put up their feet on Thursday while eating lunch and they're just like, yeah, this, you know. Bears, Lions are two of the teams that we deal with on a consistent basis. We're not too concerned about the division. So, Ricky, I think we can punt on locks and upsets this week.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered enough games, right?
Sure. And this has just been...
I don't like any enough to have a lock or an upset.
Me neither. We've been here far too long. Maybe longer than we expected to be.
This is true. This is true.
Nobody's going to understand that. At least if our esteemed producing crew doesn't. That's a story. We'll save that one for the tell-all someday. But
yeah, that'll be in the sitcom.
Ricky, do you have anything else for Week 12, the Thanksgiving football slate?
I do not. Okay. Other than have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Likewise. So, all right, that's Ricky. I'm Mike. This has been The Spread. Thanks thanks to Sam for joining us. Thanks for everyone tuning in. Enjoy the football. Enjoy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you again next week.
We got to do the annual turkey sign off.
Oh, okay. All right. See you again next week. Goodbye.